Thursday afternoon trifecta. Denny, Roger, and now Dr. Sports comes into the control room.
How's it going?
Where are you?
Oh, I don't know.
Keep talking. I'll find you.
Oh, there we
go. There we
go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Between the two of you, you guys are good at shutting me up over the years.
It's an effort. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. It takes a lot of effort. That's right. A special person.
You bring out that skill in people.
Oh, yeah. Great. Thank you. Wow.
Carolyn Binder, who yep. we love.
That was Roger, by the way. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Email address roger.taylor at wkzo.com. I harass Ms. Binder because I like her. And she's really a fun person to harass. And she brings that out in you. But she usually has a smile on her face.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And before we're going to talk football.
Yeah.
But we were uncertain where Detroit is in the standings. In my newfound interest in sports, I need to know.
Where they are in the standings?
Yeah.
Well, they're about, what did we figure, Denny?
Five and a half, right.
Oh.
5.5 up. So their lead is shrinking since I've talked to you last.
Yeah.
Because they were
yeah.
almost 8 games up the last time you and I talked.
Yeah, they were just a week ago. They were 8.5, actually.
Yeah, you're, uh-huh. So the offense has struggled, but the thing that they've got going for them, and remember the equation that I showed you, is the other part of the equation is the team that is behind them, is the Cleveland Indians. Yes. And they've also lost a couple of games. And so even though Detroit's struggling, Cleveland's also losing or has lost the last couple of nights, including last night. And so that's helping them stay afloat. Even though they're losing, they've still got 5 games, which is okay. And now it's another one of my favorite seasons. It's magic number season.
You're right. Right.
Which this is another math equation we might not have time for today. But
oh, my eyes are rolling.
Yeah,
already.
I know. They already are. That's okay. So basically, and I don't want to throw all the numbers at you, but any combination of Detroit wins and Cleveland losses from now until the end of the month that equal 11, that means that they're going to clinch the AL Central.
Right.
Okay.
So starts tonight. Their magic number is 11. Or starts tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Excuse me. Friday. So
I knew that.
Oh, there you go. Wow. You know something that I don't. I misspoke.
No,
so it starts tomorrow.
You
yeah, it
knew
starts
that.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. How are they going to do against the Royals? The Royals are part of the reason
exactly.
they've been backsliding, right?
Wow. Listen to you.
Yeah.
Where are you've
Boy,
been hanging out with Denny.
Impressed and very impressed here.
Yeah, this is great. This is actually constructive. I like this. You know,
we've moved beyond remedial
that's right.
Sports
that's
math
right. That's
into.
Right. That's right.
It's all about starting pitching, and right now for the Tigers, the key is going to be their offense. And Billy Butler is one particular Royal that's had the number of quite a few starting pitchers for the Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
And so pitch to Billy Butler and we've seen it make or break. I mean, they've gone into the eighth and ninth inning with maybe a 1 or 2 run lead and blown it because of Billy Butler. And so, you know, the way that the back end pitches to Billy Butler. So if I had to name one person that could make or break this series for the Detroit Tigers, it's actually going to be Billy Butler of the Kansas City Royals.
So will this be Denny appears to listen to all Tiger games, at least portions
yes,
of them. That's
I do.
My sense.
Yep.
I do.
I sense you do, too.
Yes, I do.
Will you be paying particularly close attention to the series with the Royals, or are these just another ball game?
From here on out, because I said it's magic number season, so you start to pay a little bit closer attention to the games, because from here on out, every game matters. I mean,
it does.
And I'm even going to start paying attention, you know, to the Cleveland games because those games matter as well.
Okay.
You know, I'm not necessarily going to listen to every pitch of their broadcast, but I'm going to have a finger on that pulse because that matters to what's happening to the Detroit Tigers.
That's
so,
right.
Of course, I'm going to pay attention to it.
And I do watch every game. However, during commercial breaks, I do check out Pawn Stars or Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I mean, you know, so.
The important stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
I get a little culture, too.
Yeah.
Very little, but.
Yeah, Pawn Stars. Yeah,
right.
You get a lot
I
of
love
culture
that show.
In Pawn Stars.
I love that show.
Or I do the thing that drives, it used to drive my parents parents crazy when I live with them, and it drives everyone crazy when they come over to my house. I'll listen to the radio broadcast, which is a little ahead of the TV broadcast, but I'll have the TV broadcast on and
muted.
And you keep
telling people what's going to happen.
But it's because it's not synced up.
Right.
Because, well, I can sync it up because I can DVR, I can pause it, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
That takes a little bit of math. But I don't usually, just because I like to be listening to it and maybe doing something else. And if it's important, I'll look up and then I can see it.
Yeah. Live, sort of.
Sort of. With the quoting fingers, live.
Okay.
But, yeah.
The real reason you stopped by this afternoon is who's playing football tonight?
Tonight is the New York Jets and the New England Patriots, which is that matchup has become this year so intriguing on paper. And I look at the percentages that are on our pigskin pick'em. And so if you're entered, don't forget to make your picks tonight on 1660thefan.com tonight. By they're giving you a 7:10 p.m. deadline to make those picks. We're going to make them right here, but all of the off-the-field headlines that have been happening with both of these teams really has made this so interesting. I'm looking at the numbers right now, 97% in favor of a New England win. I don't know if it's actually going to be that much of a runaway between the Patriots and the Jets, because
you see the Jets having the ability to pull this off?
Possibly, and the things that I've been hearing from the talking heads from the mothership, that is ESPN, by the way, have started to, and well, they're huge New York Jet fans just because they love the whole Tebow train.
I know,
but they're making some pretty logical arguments that say that the Jets might have a chance at this, and it's because of their first year quarterback. Because of course, Mark Sanchez is out for the rest of the season with a shoulder injury. He was stupidly placed into a preseason game in the fourth quarter when it didn't matter, and he was tackled, and now he's probably going to have shoulder surgery coming up pretty soon. But Geno Smith is their, I call him freshman, but first-year quarterback. They just drafted him, and they're giving him a shot at beating the New England Patriots.
Did they ever, the coach, ever explain putting him into the game?
No, and
the third-string line, they were telling on TV.
Listen
this
to you!
Man, oh man.
Wow! Yeah. No, but
You guys will be taking notes soon.
You're really working that cable remote, aren't you? I mean,
jeez.
Boy.
I heard that on Morning Joe.
Oh,
okay.
All right. Hey, whatever. The one thing that you will not get out of Rex Ryan is a logical explanation for anything.
No, you won't.
So,
no.
You know, he did it because he did it, and that's why he did it.
Oh.
And this is what happened.
Yep.
So deal with it.
Yep.
Because I'm Rex Ryan.
We're moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on.
That's right.
And so are the Jets. However, and Monsignor's here because Jim is not specifically because we got our butts kicked last week.
And I need to put my Monsignor hat on.
Yes, you do. So. And you know, and I love an underdog story, but I think I got to go with the Patriots anyway.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I would.
In my heart, I might be rooting for the Jets, and it would be fun if the Jets beat the Patriots because on paper, no one's giving them a chance except for the last couple of days. We're starting to hear the rumor mill that this might happen.
I don't care for Rex Ryan.
That too. Yeah, yeah. I don't really care for him either.
So Tebow plays for the Jets?
He used to.
He
did. And
he's out of football now.
Yeah, he's out of football now. There was this whole, they called it the Tebow experiment, because of Mark Sanchez was struggling, and he continues to struggle. And now, of course, with his shoulder injury, he's not playing anymore. It's the quarterback position for the Jets has just been this ginormous question mark for the since Mark Sanchez came on board pretty
well.
Much,
plus, but it's New York, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's the city, and it's, you know, it's the talk, and of course the New York Post, the back page, and all that stuff.
The drama.
Do you guys think Tebow will reappear, or is his football career over now?
I think he's got to go to kind of one of the outlying leagues. You know, somewhere else, get some experience. You know, I hate to say arena football, but if he wants to play football, and he's been so adamant, his issue is himself and his attitude, even though he's course, has this, you know, such a presence in the locker room. I think his attitude about, well, I'm here in the NFL and I'm going to play quarterback. He's not built to play quarterback.
No,
he's built to
no.
play, you know, they put him out at tight end and, you know, they've run the Wildcat with him before and all these weird formations for NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been effective at, you know, tight end, fullback, some, you know, because he's
right.
he's built like a truck.
Well, and so many of these guys, too, who have success in the college ranks, they're part of a system.
Yes.
Part of a game plan, and it's not like, you know, you have this all-star. Even if a guy wins a Heisman Trophy, which he did,
right.
and I think Sanchez also fits that mold when he played at USC. You're part of a program, an actual system. When you get out of that and have to become your own player in the NFL,
yep.
it's totally different.
Yeah, and we're seeing that happen with, I mean, in both
yeah.
cases, really, because Sanchez has been nowhere near
no.
the talent level he was at USC
no. No.
in the NFL.
Absolutely.
When he was playing for Denver when he first surfaced, right?
Yes.
How could he get all that attention and hoopla and
it was
fizzle out like this and now you're saying no longer be capable of playing NFL football?
In my opinion, and I almost got talked to the cliff on this one, and I said someone talked me off the cliff because he was winning so many games in the fourth quarter for the Denver Broncos, and of course they made that little bit of a Cinderella run in the postseason a couple years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was, you look back at the tape and you take the emotion out of it of how exciting it is to see a team do something like that. And it was really some well-placed receivers and, you know, they were in the right place at the right time. You look at the physical throws that he made and they're horrid. I mean, they're like dead ducks, they call them.
You're right.
There's no spiral. There's really no direction. Usually, you know, when you're an NFL quarterback, when you're an elite NFL quarterback, you're placing the ball in certain in areas where the receivers are they know that that's where their route is going to be, and they know that that's where the football is going to be when they cut to that route. These receivers had to cut to the ball and kind of just guess, and you could see it when you look back at those throws. That's what happened. And you know, I don't want to say that it's all luck on Tebow's part that his receivers were that skilled in being able to get to those footballs, but at the end of the day, that's kind of what it was.
He had good catchers, so to
sure,
speak.
Sure, sure, yeah. That's kind of the layman's way to put
catchers.
It. Yeah. Catchers,
the guys good catching catchers. The ball. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, and I think the beginning of the end was when he signed with the Jets, and they didn't use him.
Oh, yeah.
They never used him.
No.
I mean, come
did
on.
They do him just they bring him in just to get him away from Denver?
Well,
or did they think they were going to have some use for the guy?
I think I mean, again, the New York headlines,
yeah,
I think that that whole thing played into all of that, and the fact that, hey, we might be able to resurrect this guy. They had a need at that time for something, for some kind of spark, because Mark Sanchez was completely in the dumps. I mean, completely. So they needed something, and then they never used him.
Right. Who's the quarterback in Sanchez's absence?
Geno Smith.
Okay.
Is that they just drafted him.
Is he any good?
He's brand new. He'll get there. He's fresh. He's a little raw.
Remind me what college he went to.
And see, I don't know that.
I want to say Virginia or West Virginia.
I feel like it was, I think it's West Virginia.
Yeah.
If I had to say right off the top of my mind.
I think it is West Virginia, actually. I think so.
We can look that up.
Okay.
Or somebody call in. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, somebody who knows about sports, please, 382-4280.
That's right.
877-382-4280. Carolyn, you have forgotten more about sports than I know, and that's no great feat. Don't let your head swell. But
not Carolyn.
You are knowledgeable on these things. Hence, Dr. Sports.
I give it a try. I like to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So go and make your picks on Pigskin Pick'em on 1660 The Fan. And we've got our winner posted on Facebook. And a bunch of you got entered for that grand prize because I think like there's I think 30 of you beat us. So.
And what is the grand prize?
Well, it's an all-inclusive prize pack that we're working on building it towards the end of the season. So it's going to continue to build until the last week of the NFL season. And you could enter to win all of that. You just got to beat us. And it's not that hard, as 30-some people found out last week. So
easily beaten.
Yes.
And so your guest tonight is the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. I'm going with the Jets.
All right.
Thanks, Doc.
Appreciate it.
.428, the trifecta, Denny and Roger in.
We're here.
There is a cold front moving through the area with some spotty showers associated with it. And a couple of showers have popped up offshore from South Haven, and those are headed straight east. So my prediction earlier that we may not see some rain, I think we may now.
It's possible. It's a pretty good front coming over the lake right now. And as you mentioned, it's just now getting into South Haven.
Yeah. And so we may see some showers. Nothing severe in this, just a little bit of rain. Mm-hmm. We had been hoping to hear from Sean McCann. Thank you.
I know how that goes sometimes.
Yeah, well, when you're my age.
That's right.
I've got 10 years on you, my friend.
Yes, you do. And you don't look it. You know, you don't.
Well, I don't act it anyway.
But you don't.
I'm struggling to remain immature.
I, however, have taken down all the mirrors in my house. So don't have those anymore.
At any rate, Sean was going into some hearings at 3 o'clock, and having lived in a corporate world, I know about meetings going on longer than we had expected. And today he announced running for the Michigan Senate. Mm-hmm. And I then began to ponder who might run for his vacated office, the 61st district.
60th.
60th. That's right. I lose track of the numbers. Mm-hmm. The sport I truly follow is politics.
That's right.
And that's right. I think of politicians as individuals, not as a district.
I could figure out earn run average, and you can tell me exactly what the districts are.
Yeah, right.
So that's right. It's a good balance.
I wonder who is going to be running for that vacant seat in the House. And actually, I was hoping that Sean might have some speculation on who he would support replacing him. I'm wondering if it will be a competitive situation as we head into the primaries. Sean, well, we'll give him a chance to call. We may hear from him yet if he can get out of that committee hearing. Sean, I guess, pays attention to his job more than running for election. And he is keeping his nose to the grindstone instead of joining us and talking about what his plans are. On the phone, Dave Buskirk. Dave, how are you?
Pretty good, Roger. How you doing?
I'm good. You got any idea who might be interested in Sean's vacant seat?
Well, I'm going to take the speculation out of it. I've already filed, and I am running for the seat. So.
Oh, I didn't know. Really? You've already filed?
Oh, yeah.
Have you announced publicly?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I announced about a week and a half ago, pending Sean's announcement. I think I said that if Sean didn't run for the Senate, I'd reconsider probably. But Sean's running for the Senate, and Dave Buskirk's running for the 60th State House seat.
What do you see as the important issue that is motivating you to leave the county commission and want to go to Lansing?
Well, a couple things, Roger. Public servants always like to take their service to their community and utilize it in the best manner. And after 20 years, I think it's time that I took mine to the next level at the state. And I think my work and labor background and my ability to work here at the county level on a pretty bipartisan measure might be an asset in Lansing right now.
And do you see competition? Do you see other candidates coming out? And do you see a primary fight?
You know, Roger, it's never a fight. It's just a primary contest, obviously. I don't know at this time. No one else has filed. I'm focused on one thing, and that's focused on getting myself elected to the state house. So, but right at this time, I don't know of anybody.
Okay.
And I got an old saying that I've had for the last 20 years. I never mention an opponent's name anyway when I'm talking.
Right. Well, I was seeing that as a yes or no question, not.
Yeah. It's a pretty popular seat for Democrats. I'll admit that. But at this stage of the game, and that's why I came out early, I want everybody to know that I want to take my experience, my 20 years, my leadership experience, and my ability to work together with people and go to Lansing and represent Southwest Michigan, specifically right. The city of Kalamazoo and the township.
Well, what I always like, Dave, is that you take a no-nonsense approach. You're direct, you're straightforward, and you're a straight shooter, and you've proven that at the county level, and I think it'd be good to have that in Lansing.
Well, I've tried to do that. Yeah, I mean, there's always little incidences you can pick up on I didn't agree with one or the other, because right. You don't agree all the time. But
right.
What you do is you take that no-nonsense approach, you put it into practical solutions, and move on.
Well, Dave, and I think that Kalamazoo County and the municipalities in Kalamazoo County have sort of led the state in how to deal with the budgets that we have here. And so far, I think our corner of the state has weathered Michigan's depression really well.
Yeah, particularly we've been really we've benefited greatly from previous county administrations and commissioners, and I've been there 20 years, and I've learned a long time ago that if you approach things very conservatively with regards to your income and your expenditures, you usually end up fairly decent in the end, and we've been able to do that with balanced budgets and a little extra money here and there, and all true, our employees haven't received raises in a few years, and they've been part of the solution. They've joined in with us and said, you know, hey, we understand things are tight now, so we'll stand by, and hopefully when things get a little better, we can do something about that. And they're getting a little better. And you're right, Roger, because of economic development efforts in this area by both public and private, we've been able to create jobs while everybody else is scrambling to try and keep out of bankruptcy in Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. And so taking some of that expertise to Lansing, I think would be a reasonable thing to do. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm retiring from the electrical industry after 45 years and a couple months and a few months. And I want to be able to dedicate my time to this.
Yeah.
And this is a joint venture. Without the approval of my beloved wife of 40 years, this wouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. And she's my partner in this. So,
yeah, sure.
And I think it has to be that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Absolutely.
Yes. I was unaware that you had announced, and
I'm
glad you called. And now that we know, I'm certain as the election comes closer, we'll be talking quite a bit.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to hearing on your conversation with Sean when he gets out of his meetings.
Yeah, cool. Hey, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Don.
Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Buskirk, and a candidate for the seat being vacated by Sean McCann, who wants to go to the Senate.
It's going to be interesting. Dave's, like I said, Dave's a good guy. Sean's a good guy.
Thursday trifecta, Denny and Roger taking care of business this afternoon.
Yes, we are.
And this morning, reading the Free Press, saw a new pocket rocket has come to market. And when I think of new Detroit Iron, the name Mark Phelan comes to mind. He's the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. And joining us now is Mark. Mark, how you doing?
I'm terrific, thank you.
Well, the Focus ST, is it that really that hot?
It really is. 252 horsepower in a little compact hatchback. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have imagined that was possible. But they did it, and it's really a whole lot of fun to drive.
How does the weight-to-horsepower ratio compare to pocket rockets when I was a kid that was called a Pontiac GTO?
It's actually probably pretty good. The early GTOs were probably about 325 horsepower, and they probably weighed, you know, 1,800 pounds, maybe a ton more than the Focus ST. So this is a pretty good power-to-weight ratio in this little car.
What is the handling like? Does the light weight of the car impact how well it handles with that much horsepower?
You know, the one problem I had was that there's some torque steer when you're accelerating really fast in a straight line. And that's with powerful front-wheel drive cars, you get that sometimes. And the front wheels want to wander a little bit offline. That was the only drawback, though. I drove it on some country roads that had real nice twisty curves, and it's amazingly stable and well-behaved driving fast through, you know, hard curving roads. I was very pleasantly surprised by that.
A lot of people complain about the noise of a turbocharger. Can you have a conversation in the car while driving?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got pretty good sound insulation, and turbochargers are becoming much less noticeable. The manufacturers realized that whistling sound was something that bothered people, and in most of the modern turbos, you don't hear that at all. And in this particular car, there was a really good Sony audio system, so I had other things drowning out, you know, any engine noise most of the time anyway.
Before I ask you thoughts on the other crop of 2014 cars coming out, when we chatted this morning, you said you're actually at your brother's place in Tecumseh, and you got there test driving yet another car. What are you driving today?
You know, I'm driving the Ford Fiesta ST, which is the smaller, the subcompact performance model. They just started making it, and it's got about 197 horsepower, if I remember correctly. And I'm enjoying it a whole lot, I have to say. It doesn't have enough power to get into the torque steer that I had with the Focus ST, and I was driving it on some of the same twisting country roads that are between Detroit and Tecumseh, and it absolutely hugs the road. I mean, it's a very nice little car.
How does the performance compare to the Focus ST?
It's not as fast because it's, you know, less powerful, mm-hmm. But it is also a bit less heavy. So it is a less rockety pocket rocket, but it'd still compare real well to the performance version of any of the other subcompacts that are out there.
How about noise in the small car?
Not bad at all.
Good.
There's a fair amount of road noise, but engine noise is barely noticeable.
Okay. Well, these are the beginnings of the 2014 cars that are hitting the market. What are you particularly looking forward to, and what do you think may miss the mark when it hits the streets?
Well, there's some really promising stuff coming out. I mean, you know, like every other red-blooded American auto writer, I'm dying to drive the new Chevrolet Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
And that is absolutely gorgeous and phenomenally fast and powerful. It's practically a supercar in terms of performance, and prices start at, you know, around $50,000.
So
the Corvettes, a new Corvette is always a big event. There's a new Jeep Cherokee at kind of the other end of the spectrum. A very nice, you know, looking vehicle, a real departure from the boxy old Cherokee they used to make. And it's the first Jeep that was developed since Chrysler and Fiat have been working together. So it's going to tell us a lot about how well the Fiat engineers understand what it takes to be a Chrysler product, and especially a Jeep. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. And I just finished driving the new Chevy Silverado full-size pickup. And my review of that will be running in a couple of weeks, but I was extremely impressed. That is, it's quiet. It's as well equipped as some luxury cars would have been, you know, 10 years ago. And it's got best-in-class towing capacity and horsepower, which are the two most important, you know, performance criteria for pickups. So, you know, the model year's off to a real strong start.
Have you had a chance to drive the new Chevrolet Impala?
I have. That was one of the most pleasant surprises of the year, well, I have to say.
Consumer Reports.
It to be pretty good. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Consumer Reports was equally surprised and impressed.
They raved about it. I think they said it had the highest, you know, score of any non-luxury sedan that they had ever tested, and I do remember that they said it was better than some of the luxury cars they tested even.
Absolutely.
It's really an extraordinarily, you know, good car, and it's been selling very well. The work that Chevy put into that is definitely paying off for them.
Are the U.S. companies making the comeback that's being touted? Are Ford and GM, particularly those two companies, are they building competitive cars or even industry-leading cars?
I think they are. I mean, it varies from one model to the next, who's the leader. But if you look at the Ford and GM product lines, there's something in just about every segment that is, if not the best, among the best. Chrysler is a little bit farther down the development cycle because they're waiting for the European economy to improve, and that'll help with some of the equipment they're going to be getting from Fiat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably a year and a half behind Ford and GM as far as introducing the new vehicles that will really tell us, you know, where they are at the moment. The couple that they've done so far, the Dodge Dart, has been quite good, and what I'm hearing about the Cherokee is very promising.
Have you had a chance to drive the new Toyota Corolla?
No, I am hoping to do that at the first press drive of that is going to be in Minneapolis around the 1st of October. And I'm hoping to be there to drive that because that's a very interesting and important car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Toyota is obviously one of the leaders in, you know, compact sedans. And whatever they do is going to be very influential for the whole industry going forward.
Yeah. We're talking with Mark Phelan, the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. Any other cars from other manufacturers that you're excited about this fall?
Absolutely. There is... BMW is getting into electric vehicles for the first time ever. They're going to have their first two electric cars, one of which is purely battery electric. It's called the i3. And the other one is the one that I'm really excited about. It's a sort of a plug-in electric. It's more similar in technology to the Chevy Volt in that it's got a gasoline engine and electric system. And it is gorgeous. And it's a convertible. So it looks like it could be the first really exciting, sexy, fun electric car.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you see any cars coming to market this year that you wonder what the company was thinking when they designed and sold that car? Do you see anything out there that you question whether or not it's got a place in the market?
Well, there's one real oddball that was shown. They call it a concept vehicle, but it's pretty close from what I understand to what will be built at the Frankfurt Auto Show in Germany this week. It's a Lexus SUV. The concept is called the LFNX, if I remember correctly, and it's just weird looking. It really is. The shapes go in all different directions. It's kind of like the artist M.C. Escher, who did all those weird graphic designs of, you know, stairways turning inside out and that kind of thing. If he designed a car, that's what would have, this car is what he would have done, I think.
Are we talking?
I'm real interested to see if Lexus has the guts to stick with that design as they get closer to production, because small SUVs are a really hot area. Everybody wants to build those.
Are we talking Pontiac Aztec ugly?
Same neighborhood, yeah.
Ooh, ooh,
yeah, I mean, it's just a legitimately weird-looking vehicle.
Yeah, poke my eyes out. I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us this afternoon, Mark. Always good talking with you.
Thank you so much. It's always my pleasure.
And we'll have you back when you get to drive some of these other vehicles. Now I'm intrigued.
Mainly that VET, man. You got to get behind the wheel of that VET.
We'll need pictures of that, too.
Cross my heart.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Mike Phelan, the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press.
All right, Roger, we've got a couple of traffic notes to pass along.
Not good ones, I trust.
No, they're not. Okay. East Main and Sprinkle, UPS versus a car. Southbound lane on Sprinkle Road is presently closed. And also at Westnage and Kalamazoo Avenue, right downtown, right in front of St. A's there, bicycle versus a car. In both cases, police and health authorities are there and taking care of things, so avoid those areas if you can.
Watch out for Sprinkle in particular. Trifecta with Denny and Roger.
You know, we had a call. Kathy in Kalamazoo took exception to your ugly Aztec remark. In fact, she says she has an Aztec. It's 11 years old, looks new, gets great gas mileage, and says, make sure you tell Roger, I like my Aztec.
Well, all right. From the inside, I'm certain it's a perfectly nice car.
That's right. That's right.
We have a couple of traffic things to talk about.
Yeah. East Main and Sprinkle had a two-car accident there. Southbound lane of Sprinkle is closed. And Westnage and Kalamazoo Avenue, right downtown in front of St. A's, also an accident. Police are on the scene, so avoid those areas if you can.
Denny and I will be back tomorrow afternoon at 3.
Absolutely. Had fun. Thanks.
Have a good night, folks.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.